Good morning and welcome to you all. Lovely to see you all, to see some of you back from holiday, to see others who are new, who are visiting. It's great to have you here. They call this Low Sunday, and we are a bit low, aren't we? But if you're watching online later on this week from your holiday destination or wherever, particular welcome to you. And if you're watching online and you've never visited here before and are just checking us out, then we'd love to invite you to come along and say hello, but I hope this gives you a taster of who we are. We are still celebrating the resurrection and will continue to in this Easter season, because we don't just celebrate it on Easter Sunday. The news of Easter is now and forever. And so we come today to celebrate the news that Jesus is alive again, and that changes everything. And Mark's going to be speaking a little about that later on. So we're going to stand and just proclaim that truth as we begin. Let's stand if you're able. This is the good news which we proclaim to you. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Walk in the light of his love. Live in the light of his teachings and healing mercies. Come, let us worship the one who overcame death. Let us celebrate the triumph of our Lord. Amen. And we're going to start by singing a song called Gratitude, which is our way of saying thank you to Jesus for all that he has done, for his death and his resurrection, but for all that he's done for us in our lives too, the fact that he's always with us, that he knows us, he loves us, that he gives us his peace and his strength in all circumstances. So let's come and offer our gratitude to Jesus. And if you're wanting to come and get an instrument, young or old, or a flag, then do come down and join in the worship that way. wonder where we are, whether we could just speak out what we are thankful to God for today. Just, it might be something big, it might be something little. Just feel free to speak that out in the quietness of your own hearts, or speak it out loud. It doesn't matter if you're speaking over somebody else. These are prayers to God. Let's just say thank you to God for all that he's done for us. What we want to say thank you to him, to show our gratitude this morning.
Thank you, Lord, that you love us more than we could ever comprehend.
New grandson.
Thank you for our special children and young people.
Jesus, how great you are.
So Lord, we thank you for all you have done for us. We thank you again for your death and resurrection, which changes everything. And as we continue in our worship today, would we have open hearts to receive all that you want for us today, and all the different ways that you want to transform us and shape us to be more like you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Do take a seat, everybody. There are times in our church life where actually there seem to be quite a lot of changes, and this is one of those. And some of it is saying hello to new people, some of it is saying goodbye to people, and some of it is people passing on the baton to others. And we've got a bit of that this morning. First of all, I want to say, where's Nathan? Nathan, give us a wave. Nathan starts tomorrow as our new youth ministry leader. So pray for him. I'm not going to get him at the front today, because we're going to commission him next Sunday when we say thank you to some of the youth leaders who have held the baton while we've waited for Nathan to come in, and who have just really allowed the youth ministry to flourish over the last couple of years. But do pray for Nathan and April and Rue as they start their new life in ministry. Good luck to you. No, it's great. We are delighted to have you. We've also got a sad goodbye today. And that is to one of our Ukrainian friends, Ada, who is going to be going back to Ukraine on Wednesday. I'm not going to embarrass her and get her out the front. But we want to just assure you of our great prayers as you go back to Ukraine with your family. We will be praying for you, for your safety, and just as you readjust there. And just to say, it's been such a privilege to have you ministering with us and worshipping with us over these last 2 years. And you will be greatly missed. And we want to just reassure you that you are still part of our church family, and do watch us online and watch our services there. And we will continue to remember you and our other Ukrainian guests in prayer as we continue to support you and journey with you from afar. So shall we just express our appreciation and blessing. And we're also going to just mark a change, a passing on of just ministry from some people to others today. So I'm going to invite Debbie and Jane to come up to the front. Where are you, Debbie and Jane? Debbie and Jane, let's start with Debbie first of all, because Debbie's been doing it for longer. Debbie has been leading our worship here, musical worship here, for how long?
17 years.
17 years. That is a mammoth commitment. And what you guys don't see is that those leading worship actually are bombarded with emails from people like me from about Monday saying, what about the songs this week, etc. And then we sort of change them halfway through and just cause trouble. And then they have to organise the team, and then they have to get all the music ready, and then they have to make sure the words are right, and then they come and do their practice. And actually, what you see up here is just a little tiny bit of what's actually all the preparation that goes on. And we want to thank you, particularly Debbie, for the way that you have led the musical worship team here, the way that you brought so many others in. This has become a place where people have come here for the worship, come here for who this church is, and that you, what your ministry has been so much a part of that. And Jane, come along too. Jane, you've joined in. How long have you been here?
About 7 years.
You've just came just after I did, didn't you?
Yes.
And you've been a key part of this as well, and particularly latterly you and Debbie have been overseeing, and we've had many musical gatherings on Saturday mornings at your house, haven't we? And we want to just acknowledge all that you've done. You've just worked so hard, both of you, and so servant-heartedly in serving us in our worship here. And we want to really acknowledge that and thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. And we have a little token of appreciation for you both. Debbie, you can pick which colours you want first. So you've been here longer. There you go. So these guys have got extra commitments. Jane's about to move house soon. Debbie's got extra commitments with extra grandchildren and her family commitments. And just we sensed it was the right time to pass the baton over. And we're going to... Chris, you come up. Chris and Zark are going to be taking over the lead of the musical team. Zark isn't here, he's on holiday, but Chris, if you don't know Chris is here too. Debbie and Jane are very much going to still be part of the team, and there's real unity, and it's been really lovely to see this transition happening. And, you know, it's an ongoing transition. It's not a complete swap over. It's a work in progress. And I know that Chris and Zark have been so grateful for your input. We're going to commission Chris and Zark properly when Zark's here as well, probably at an evening service, because I don't want to commission you without him. But I am going to pray for Debbie and for Jane. And then I would love, would Debbie and Jane, would you just pray for Chris and Zark? Would you do that as a way of just passing that on? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for Debbie and Jane and for the way that they have led and been such a key part of our ministry here at St. Andrew's over the years. We thank you for their musical gifts, for their passion, for their servant-hearted leadership, for their willingness to just work week in, week out to serve our church, put endless hours in. And we thank you for all that you have done through their ministry of music here. And we bless them. We bless them in this new season. We thank you that they're still going to be very much part of our musical team. And we bless them in this new season, that you would continue to refresh them and encourage them and fire them up for whatever new things are ahead, but also to continue leading us in worship. So we thank you for them, and we bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Father, this is such a special place, and your spirit is alive and well here at St. Andrew's. And we just pray now for Chris and for Zark as they take over this really major part of our worship life here at St. Andrew's. We ask for your blessing on them both. We pray for the music team. We pray for open hearts and minds and spirits to be able to work together so that what we have here may grow and really flourish. And we thank you for the whole family of the church here at St Andrews, and we pray, Lord, that this ministry will be very much part of this family life. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And Father God, we thank you for the gift of music. Thank you for so many musicians across the generations. And thank you, Lord, that we can sometimes lift our hands and voices in praise and we can touch the heavenly places. Lord, we thank you that you've gifted this to your people and your people here. And we pray, Lord, as the baton is handed on to the next generation, that you will raise up the next generation after that and gifted worship leaders among our young people. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to anoint and inspire and direct our worship to the heavenly places. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much. And Debbie and Jane are going to sing a blessing over us at the end as their final little act, which would be great. A couple of other things. Hot off the press is the parish profile for the vicar in the Chase team, which I have just emailed out for final proofreading, which will go out in the Church Times on Friday. So please do be praying for this advert, this appointment, that the person that God has already prepared to come here and join us and minister us in the team will see this, will apply, and that we will know who the appointment is. So when that goes out, we'll put it on the mailing and Facebook, etc. this week. Do share that with any contacts you have. Get the word out, and let's really be praying that God would bring the right person here. A couple of other notices before the children head off to their groups. The Alive course starts a week tomorrow at the Littleton Well and a week on Friday at St Mary's. We've already got several people signed up, but there are lots of places still available. And just really want to encourage, if you perhaps have recently done Alpha or are still quite a new Christian, or are exploring faith, then I think this course will be really, really good for you. Or actually, if you've been a Christian years and just want to come along, or maybe even bring a friend, then come and join us. It's really exciting doing something, particularly at the Littleton Well in an evening and supporting Simon and all the work there. So do spread the word out if there's people that God's inviting you to. Oh, Simon's just there. Give us a wave, Simon. Do pray for Simon, head of the Littleton Well. And just do pray that God would use this to reach people. I think it's a great little course, very accessible for people wanting to find God's love, hope, peace, freedom and purpose in the stories of the resurrection. More details on our website. And if you're watching online and want to come and join us, then please do. If you're new, then do connect up with us via that page and you can get our weekly mailing. And today we have a shared lunch, first shared lunch for a long time. There is time for you to go home or get to a shop and buy something and bring it along, or just come along and trust there's enough food to go around. There always is. One of these days there might not be, but there always is. Come and join us in the hall afterwards. Whoever you are, however old you are, however long you've been here, you'll be really welcome. It's a great chance to just get to know each other. So I'm going to say a prayer of blessing on our children and young people as they go to their groups. Lord, we thank you so much for our children and young people. We thank you for all the early bird families that we've already had here this morning in a packed hall. And we pray your blessing on them as they go to their groups this morning. May they have great fun. May they encounter you. And may they grow as disciples of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Children and young people, you may be joining us for communion later on. Depends how exciting your groups are. So we may see you later in the service or at the end, but have a great time. As they are heading off to their groups, let's just pause and come before God again. And as we just have a bit more time of sung worship, let's first come and confess anything that we need to. Let's think back over the last week. Where have we not lived as Jesus would have wanted us to live? Where, if Jesus had been right beside us, would we have been ashamed of what we said, of what we did, or of what we didn't do? But let's just come and confess that to a God who forgives, a God who restores, a God who brings healing, a God who takes our mistakes and says, I still want to use you anyway. Come, follow me. Say together, merciful Lord, you know our struggle to serve you when sin spoils our lives and overshadows our hearts. Come to our aid and turn us back to you again through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.
What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a mighty God we have. A God who cleanses and heals and gives us salvation and saves us. Who gives us new life, full life. And we bless you, Lord, and thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Shall we just sit quietly together? Yes. So many wonderful things that God is to us and that he does for us. And this is the time in our worship when we just come before him in prayer and thanksgiving and pray for the issues that are particularly perhaps concerning us as people or as a church together. So let's take a deep breath. Holy Spirit, inspire our prayers this morning. And meet with us as you've never met with us before, we pray. And we pray in your powerful name. And I was just drawn to Hebrews 4 in the scriptures, where it urges us to come boldly to the throne of grace, into God's presence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We are invited, we are urged to come boldly to the throne of Almighty God, Creator God, without fear, because he's implanted in us his Holy Spirit when he came and died for us and rose again for us. So here we are in prayer, Lord. Just the things that we jotted down that we would like to bring before you. And first of all, we thank you, Lord, for our church communities, for our three churches and more, St. Mary's, All Saints, St. Andrew's, and churches around the town, Lord, whom we have fellowship with and who we work alongside. And we really pray that you would guide us in all our activities. It's so easy to be busy. But, Lord, we pray that you would guide us to where you want us to be and what you want us to do, and that you would guide us in terms of our activities and planning and courses and activities. May we know your will, Lord, and your wisdom in these. In Proverbs 3:16, it says, trust in the Lord. Sorry, 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Listen to God's voice in every way possible. He's the one who keeps us on track, the message says. The one who keeps us on track. And Lord, keep us on track as we move forward together, seeking to serve you and spread your wonderful good news. I just pause there for a moment. And I felt God say, maybe there are people who've got to make big decisions, maybe even this week, that perhaps you're in a place where you're going to make significant decisions. And just pause and bring it to the Lord. Father, we pray that you would guide our path, guide our footsteps as we seek to follow you. And make good decisions, decisions that you have spoken about to us. And this week we've got new term for children and young people, those at school, busy term with exams and all sorts of activities. And we just pray for our schools, Lord, both primary and secondary schools and colleges in the area. We pray, oh God, that you would bless our children and young people with your Holy Spirit, that you would guide those who teach them, give them compassion, give them care, give them discipline, give them a way of guiding that reaches into their hearts. And we pray that they will grow in wisdom and your truth, Father God, that they will grow together and form children, young people that you can use in the future, as we've already talked about today. We pray for the Alive course. We pray and are excited by the possibilities of that. And we do ask, oh God, that you would guide and you would bless those who are running the course, and that people will come and we'll be responsible in inviting them. So we pray, Lord, and commit that course to you. And we pray for the new team vicar. You know who he is or she is. Lord, we pray that you would make it clear that as this brochure goes out, that it will call the one that you want into that position. And we commend that to you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And finally, Lord, we pray. We pray for your wider world. You've asked us to care for the world that you made and care for all those in it, just as you do. And we think of those areas of the world which are troubled, who need desperately to hear your gospel of peace and wholeness and transformation. We pray for our own nation. In Proverbs 11:14, it says, without wise leadership, a nation falls. Lord, we pray for wisdom for our own nation. And that Christian people will be praying too, and will even be volunteering to some of these key positions, as we know many of them are. And we pray for people in Parliament. Thank you that there is a prayer meeting and there are services that go on. But we do ask for your guidance and wisdom for our government. And Lord, we pray for your blessing on the Ukraine. And we pray for Ada as she sets off back to her home country. Lord, will you just put your hand on her and show her your love and healing and presence, and on her family too. And we pray that especially this morning. Dear Lord, bring peace into that country. And we can't move on, Lord, without thinking about the Middle East in general. The area that you walked, the hills that you climbed, the rivers that you crossed in a boat, the seas that you fished from with your disciples. Father God, have mercy. Have mercy, we pray. And we ask for your peace and your deliverance in this area. And Lord, be with those especially who are grieving, so, so many families torn apart, children gone. Lord, have mercy and give wisdom to all those who are working hard. 6 months has gone by. Lord Jesus, Father God, Heavenly King, we pray that you will bring some resolution. And now, as we join together in the prayer that you, Jesus, taught us, we pray that the meaning, the words will be meaningful and hit our hearts afresh. So let's join together and say the Lord's Prayer together, shall we? Our Father, who art in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power, and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 49, and that's on page 1062 in the Church Bibles, 1062. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord.
This may be called Low Sunday by some, but to you I say, hallelujah, Christ is risen. Indeed. Hallelujah. I think this is a good day. This is a day to rejoice. Some people call it Low Sunday, but still a very good day. Just a moment of prayer. For Lord, in this time of resurrection, it is a joy to know that you are the risen Lord. And that as we turn to your word together, speak to our hearts of your love, of your hope, and of all you want for us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today may be known as good as Low Sunday, but it's a good day, I say to you. Some of you are smiling. I think it's something to be smiled at. But I also know that some of you may be in all sorts of places. And I wonder what might be going on in your hearts. We may say a little more about this in the next few minutes. But it is a glorious moment to remember once again that Jesus is risen. And we have that hope, that certain hope, to eternal life with the risen Lord. I mean, Easter is a huge historical step change. The change that happened when Jesus first rose from the dead is a change that has been part of what we can know ever since that time. And it's for you and me today. So don't think of it as a low Sunday anymore, will you? Lift your heads and your hearts with that sense of real joy. Easter Day is glorious. And yet I know that for some of us in real life, there are times when it can feel uncertain. We may have a sense of wonder about Easter Day, but also we can have questions in our hearts about what's going on in our lives just at the moment. So there may be a reason for today, this time, to be glorious, and that there is a future hope that is great. And that Easter is an amazing time of rejoicing. Nevertheless, some of us will be carrying with us a very real sense of what's going on personally in our lives. And I just want to sort of just make that known, share that with you, because some of us do carry that day by day at this time. Hold out the truth. Christ is risen. And we have an eternal hope in him. Of a picture of a man who's, well, just go back to that slide, sorry, just in your own personal life, you may be just like that man who's just slumped on his desk. It could be a woman just slumped on their desk. They don't know what to do, they don't know what to say, they don't know what they're doing, and there they are, just nothing to give, feeling so down, struggling so unsure, and even losing hope. So if that is also true for you, then that's okay. It's very real. And it can be a very good reason why you personally feel that way. So just hold on and let the Lord do what he wants in you and me this morning and in the coming days. So my hope is that as we focus on the risen Lord in the next few minutes, we will just hold on to that real sense of God's presence with us, and that we can allow our hearts to be just raised above just what we're going through, if that's the way we are, our personal struggles or difficulties, whatever it is. Because today is a reminder that we are truly people of the living God. We are people of hope, of the risen Christ. And it's a certain hope. Will you hold that hope in your hearts, whatever is going on? First of all, just a bit of context about Easter. Just going back to the beginning of last Sunday morning. Firstly, those women who had found the tomb, they were going to put spices there, but the entrance to the tomb, the stone had been rolled away. There were grave clothes inside, but Jesus was not there. And the tomb's empty. And there was an angel nearby who simply said, "Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead?" The second image is of the time when Mary, she runs from the tomb and she returns to the 11 and the other disciples, telling their account of the empty tomb. And the disciples were really struggling to believe, well, is this true? Their words did not seem to make sense. So Peter then ran to the tomb, also found the discarded grave clothes, and Jesus no longer there. And later that day, the risen Jesus then joins Cleopas and a friend on the road to Emmaus. Do you remember the road? That Easter day, how could it be that somebody's just walking onto Emmaus? And unbeknown to them, Jesus comes alongside and asks them, "What's going on? What are you talking about?" And as they told and recounted the accounts of that day and all that happened in Jesus' life, so Jesus opened their eyes to what had happened. And then Cleopas and a friend invite Jesus in for a meal, another meal. Jesus breaks bread with them. Their eyes were opened. And then Jesus disappears from their sight. And thirdly, that day, there's Cleopas and a friend. They return to Jerusalem and they meet up with the other 11 disciples and they join together for supper. Again, Jesus joins them. He opens their minds and their hearts to the disciples once more. I imagine even more bewildered and wondering what on earth is going on. And yet Jesus was present with them, beginning to show them who he was, his hands and his feet. And perhaps having that glimmer of, well, perhaps this is true. It's not just an apparition. Perhaps Jesus really is alive again. It's going to take time. It was an amazing moment. Jesus had died, but is risen and alive. The women had found the tomb open and know Jesus. Jesus had met with Cleopas and a friend on the road to Emmaus, amazed when Jesus broke bread with them. And those 11 disciples with Cleopas and the others meeting that evening, again breaking bread with them before he once again, as it were, disappears from their sight. So I want to go into a bit more detail with you about two wondrous events. First of all, that Easter day evening, that first resurrection appearance that Easter day evening in Jerusalem. With Cleopas and his friends, they'd rush back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples, and they gathered to pour out their story. They met together and they were eagerly recounting what was going on. They were really trying to understand, well, this is an extraordinary happening. It seems to be true. How can that be? And then there's that moment of growing revelation for those disciples. It seemed to me that it was an utterly remarkable moment in the history of the world, especially of those disciples and the people on that resurrection day. Jesus appears with them, and the first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you." So here was the risen Lord really speaking real words, true words, and they could hear him, and they could understand what he was saying. Jesus was being very real with them, very open. It's a remarkable moment in history, and I wonder if you have once again sort of really caught the amazing nature of that moment, not just that day. Jesus showed them at that evening meal his hands and his feet and asked for food and fish and ate with them. And despite the disciples' confusion, even troubles, they'd now seen the risen Jesus so alive once again, and he was with them in their midst. It was a moment of amazement and wonder. Just how could this be? How can it be? And yet, you and I have realized, don't we? Haven't you? That there's a truth in this that we've now known through our Christian lives. Jesus was now showing them who he was. And the reality was in some way as simple and as down to earth as this. Quite simply, with those disciples, Jesus with them, he took some fish, gave thanks. It would have been cooked and they just shared it together. So simple, so down to earth, so real. And yet, it was a moment of utter transformation. It was profound. It was utterly extraordinary. A moment of extraordinary truth. Do you know that? Do you really know it? I have to come back to it again and again, raising the times. Well, life's full of stuff, and I do ordinary, everyday stuff like you do most of the time. But to come back to this extraordinary moment and the memory of it and to know this is an eternal truth that is now in the present with me again. For you and I know this is a time to be able to look back on that Easter day with a deep sense of wonder, amazement at what God has done for us. And what God had done in Jesus that day, but more importantly really for you and me, is what is God doing in our hearts here this morning? I think disciples were still very unsure, confused and bewildered about what Jesus was doing in their midst, but there he was. And there they were. Now, it may well be that there's a second appearance of Jesus in Jerusalem. It might have been that day, but I think it's probably a few days later. Almost certain, as I understand it, that Jesus' resurrection appearance, well, there may be several of them, but the second key one was a few days later, probably. Luke 24 certainly sees them as two separate appearances. But they were both in Jerusalem. And so it was a little later. Jesus and his followers, they have traveled to Galilee, but they're back in Jerusalem again. And they probably met and shared several times. And now here again, this second meeting that we read in chapter 24 of Luke, Jesus was again with his disciples. Jesus was now so keen to open their hearts and their minds to a bit more of what had been going on and what was so important, both in their hearts and minds, and what they had heard about Scripture. Not only did Jesus make clear how he'd suffered death and risen to new life on the third day, but now also the importance of what Jesus had done for them and for humanity. He had said this: "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Here now, Jesus' message was so clear. And I hope it's clear to you too. Jesus opened the minds of the disciples rather more. And the whole question of sin and repentance was so hugely important and had now been shared with them as Jesus spoke again. And the whole issue and the importance of repentance for forgiveness of sins was such a powerful thing that had been shared now so clearly with those few disciples, something that you and I need to know from our hearts, not just in our minds. And we have to live the truth of that, because to live as a Christian today, I think, is just such an amazing thing of grace, a life of grace. It's a gift for us. It's not something we can earn. It just comes to us through Christ and our faith, when we put our faith in him. The disciples would become witnesses to Jesus, and the significance would bring forgiveness to everyone who would turn to Christ. My hope, my prayer, is that you have turned to Christ. Yeah, I've turned to Christ. Have you? I hope so. There are times when I have lost that sense of direction, but to come back and to know it, and so to live it, to be reminded of it again and again, is perhaps the greatest thing that we can know. The disciples would now be witnesses for all that Jesus stands for, how they become people who would proclaim forgiveness and renewal in the power of the Spirit. Every year now, we reflect on Jesus' suffering, his death and resurrection. So my question to you is simply this: how well do we now take to heart the nature of Jesus as God's Son? Do you come back to it? How well do you know it? How do we grasp these truths and write them ever more deeply on our hearts? Jesus, as God's Son, began to open up these eternal truths with them. And Jesus was a real person also, speaking to them as the Son of God. This is a key moment in the history of God at work in the life of all people, of humanity. And as Jesus lived as a real person, in real life as a human being, well, that was only in that moment that he was so fully human. But of course, from the very beginning, Jesus was with the Father. Consider a few words from the start of John's Gospel for a second, which starts like this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word became flesh and came into the world as a human being. This was a key difference. It wasn't just a purely human event in those days when Jesus lived as a human in the world. This was a historically life-changing moment of somebody who had originally, from the very beginning, been with God and in God. And now God came in Christ into the world and so opened the way to eternal life, which is now, today, a reminder for you and me that we in Christ have the certainty of life in Christ today and into eternity. So we become people in which God and humanity meet together, when Jesus, as God and man, opens the way for everlasting life, and it begins for us now. We may not know it all now. I hope you sense it as, well, it's a matter of faith now that will one day become an amazing, wonderful reality. So what is it saying to you and me this morning in the light of that Easter day? What are your experiences today of Easter? What is this Easter saying to you now? What is this Easter doing in you and me now? How have you been affected? How have you been changed? How are you being shaped by Jesus' death and resurrection? Some see that Easter day as a useful picture, an image, a memory, or metaphor. How do you understand the resurrection? Because to me, it is far more than Jesus' death and coming to life again. It's a far deeper truth about life and death. It's not just about Jesus and what he's done. It's about God and who he is in Christ. It's about what God has done for us, and what he is doing in you and me today, now, through the Holy Spirit. It's about who we are and what God is and believes in us, about us. It's not just about past events. It's not just about the important moments in history. It's about what God is doing in you and me today. It's about our personal repentance and forgiveness, our turning away from sin, turning to Christ. But much more than that, it's about God's transforming in our lives day by day into a glorious living faith that is yours and mine. I better conclude. To the truth of the historical Jesus who suffered and rose to life again, and how the risen Jesus lives today, in us today, in the power of the Holy Spirit. You do know who brings faith into our relationship with Jesus, don't you? Don't you? Recognizing your failings, sins, and confessing sorrow and receiving God's wonderful forgiveness, of course, is what happens to us and needs to happen to us again and again. But coming to faith in Christ as a transformation. But it's much more than that. It's about how you and I allow God to restore us, renew us, forgive us, and deepen the Holy Spirit in us and lead us day by day. Today, this morning, and tomorrow, the coming week. For you and me today, it is the Holy Spirit who lovingly works in us, continually transforming us into vibrant, life-giving Christians as we seek to lead others into the fullness of the Christian life. May you know that. And with me, may we live that day by day. Lord, thank you for who you are in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us through Jesus' death and resurrection, and now through life by the Holy Spirit in Christ. May we hold on to that deep truth and live it day by day. Never let go, because you never let go of us. And so in you, in the eternal you, we have that eternal joy, beginning now and growing into eternity. Amen.
Two phrases particularly just sense God wanting to point us to as we just sing before we take communion. Just for some of us here, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." He just wants to give you his peace today in the midst of your struggles and your trials. He just wants you to receive his peace. And then the other one that Mark was sharing, that phrase, "Then he opened their minds so they could understand." And then maybe actually for us, we need to pray that God would do that afresh. Open our minds so we could understand. Let's stand and we're going to sing Cornerstone. If someone could go and invite the children to come back if they want to. But as we sing Cornerstone, we're just reminded of, you know, Jesus with us, offering us his peace in the troubled times. But we're reminded of that truth of what he came for, what he offers us. May we understand that more deeply. Let's stand. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The peace of the Lord that he spoke to those disciples on that resurrection Sunday, he speaks to you too. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And also with you. Let's share with one another a sign of the peace. And so the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's always right to give you thanks, God, our Father, holy and strong, King forever. You made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. You sent your Son to live among us, Jesus, Saviour, Mary's child. He suffered on the cross. He died to save us from our sins. He rose in glory from the dead. And you send your Spirit to bring out new life to the world and fill us with power from on high. And on the night before he died, Jesus had supper with his friends. He took a loaf of bread. And he gave thanks to you, Father. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Father, today we remember Jesus. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this to remember me." Father, we do this to remember Jesus. He has forgiven us. And Father, as we remember his death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit, that the bread and wine we bring before you may be for us Christ's body and his blood. Pour your spirit on us that we may love one another as we work for the peace of the earth and wait for Jesus to come in glory. For honour and praise belong to you, Father, and Jesus, your Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Do sit or kneel as we say again the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Just before we say the final prayer and then Debbie and Jane come and sing the blessing over us, do stay for coffee, particularly if you're... Pardon? There's no coffee. Don't stay for coffee. Do stay to chat to each other and do stay for lunch. I've just got my prompts in the audience. It's good. One last thing is that today is the last day for the revision of the electoral roll. If you are not on the electoral roll and want to be, and particularly if you want to be nominated for a post in the coming APCM, which is on the 28th of April, or want to be able to vote, then please do see the welcome desk, see Nick and Val at the back, who will have the electoral roll forms. But today is the last day before that closes, before our APCM, to get your names down on that. There will be prayer here if you'd like to receive more prayer, and just come up at the end of the service and they'll be around for a few minutes to pray with you and for you. So the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. And can I invite you to sit? If you need to go, do go. But it sits while Debbie and Jane just sing the blessing over you to finish.